Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 23rd. I'm Ray Graff. Thinking about buying or selling a home? You are in luck today. We have two real estate professionals in the studio with us to answer your questions. Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District and Jared Kelly of William Pitt Sotheby's International Realty in the Berkshires are waiting for your questions right now. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can email us if you wish. It's voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis and Jared Kelly here to talk about real estate with you. It begins after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. If you're buying or selling a property, a home, a residential property, and you've never done it before, prepare yourself. It can be a little daunting. And even if you've done it, you know it's an overwhelming chore at times. Well, you're in luck today. We have two real estate professionals in the studio to answer your questions about the process of buying and or selling a home. Renata Lewis is with Keller Williams Capital District, also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She is a go-to source for real estate industry info. Jared Kelly is a real estate broker at William Pitt Sotheby's International Realty in the Berkshires, based out of Sotheby's offices in Lenox and Great Barrington. Jared assists buyers and sellers across Berkshire County. Prior to moving to the Berkshires, Jared was a litigator at law firms in Boston and San Francisco. Well, how helpful. Renata and Jared, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And the number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email your real estate question to voxpop@wamc.org. It's voxpop@wamc.org, but again, the number is 800-348-2551. Is this now, are we now in the busy season for real estate agents?
We are getting there, yes.
Yeah, we're busy in Berkshire County for sure. If inventory is low, but if you have listings, they're getting looked at pretty regularly.
Inventory still low around the Capital District, too?
Very much so, very much so. We were just at a meeting, and the percentages are down about 20%.
And as an average, a ballpark average, and I'll ask you, Renata, first, how long does a house stay on the market now?
Well, it depends on the areas, but the more... The hot pocket areas are selling as quickly as 2 days.
Amazing.
Very, very quickly.
How about you, Jared?
Our hot pocket markets can be as up to 200 days. Very, very different sort of market over in Berkshire County.
Why is that, you think?
Well, we've got a large second home buyer market, especially down in South County, and that's very much a discretionary purchase. And also, they're seasonal people, so they come up throughout the year.
Mm. Very interesting. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a real estate question. And we might as well go to the phones right away. And Mike in Cornwall. Mike, you're first.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Sure.
This is a question which I think the guests must receive many times. Selling a home, bi-level home, Orange County, town of Cornwall. I'll go that far in the description, about 50 years old, typical bi-level that was built when Orange County started to explode in building. I have kept up, kept the house up very, very well, I think. Question is, to make a long story short, how do you know, I mean, you keep saying, oh, I did this, I did that, whatever, I should do this, I should do that, to know when it's enough that you're not going to necessarily,
recoup all you've put in.
Get more a value from the house monetarily. When do you know it's time to say this house goes as is?
Okay, we got it.
Nothing looking shabby in the outside or inside.
Right. All right. Well, let's let both of our experts give it a shot here. Jared, you go first. You're new.
On the spot.
Thanks, Ray. It largely depends on the home. And my first advice would be to contact a real estate professional and get their input after they visit the home. But generally speaking, kitchens and baths and a master bedroom, you get a lot of bang for your buck. When you start getting into cosmetics and other parts of the house, you may be catering to your taste but not a buyer, so that may be money that you don't recoup. It's just important to get it kind of clean and set up and looking good. And I would get some, like I said, get some advice from a professional who can further guide you.
Okay.
Yeah, I would add to that. I always discuss with my sellers getting into like the guts of the house. You know, what does the roof light look like? What does the mechanicals look like? Your furnace, your AC. Those are the big ticket items. Have the windows been replaced? And those aren't necessarily things that you need to, you know, get new. However, you know, think about a home warranty, or if there isn't anything cosmetically that needs to be done, maybe replace some of those units if they are super old, because it will reflect in the way we're pricing the home.
Okay.
All right. Good luck,
well,
Mike.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Jared Kelly of William Pitts Sotheby's International Realty in the Berkshires, and Renata Lewis of, it's Keller Williams Capital District. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And our number, once again, is 800-348-2551. So, Jared, you were a lawyer?
I'm a recovering lawyer now. Yes,
so why the switch?
Whew. That's a whole other hour. But, you know, I enjoy working with people and getting out of the office. And as a lawyer, you're presented with a deal, or I was a litigator, with something that's already happened. And in real estate, you kind of get out in front and you're there before there's a deal in place. And for me, that's more where the excitement is.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to the phones here, and Bettina in Tivoli. Bettina, you're on.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be hopefully succinct.
Okay.
I'm in contract to buy the house next door to me, and the seller is a woman who was married and her husband died. And all was fine until we found out that he died, but they had gotten divorced beforehand, and the title had not been fully transferred over to her before he died. And nobody knew that, so the closing is now put off indefinitely. My question, have you ever had this experience before? Is there any way that I can put some pressure on the sellers, lawyers, or agents to expedite this closing, because we need to get in there and start renovation?
Renata.
Well, it would probably be more of an attorney question and a legal question at this point. Since he's deceased, a death certificate, I would say, would really be the answer, but I'm not sure how it's going to stipulate in the area that you're in and if that's something that would help you out.
What do you think, Mr. Ex-lawyer?
Right. He's deceased, but the house may be still in his estate's name. Mm. They owned it in joint.
All right. If it's an estate, it's a different story. Is there an executor for the estate? Go ahead, Jared. Take it over.
Well, I'm just wondering, do you have counsel currently?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll talk to your counsel and as well to your agent. Your agent may be able to help sort of put some pressure on, but this could be a very long process regardless, even if you try to push it along. You'd have to look into the personal circumstances of this couple and the divorce and the estate. So I would talk to the professionals working with you and see what they can do.
Okay, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Bettina. We appreciate the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's been about 16 years since we bought our house, Renata. But on average, if there are no major issues like a dead guy without a death certificate, just a normal situation, how long is it between the time you say, I'm buying this, and the closing? And on average?
6 to 8 weeks.
That's too long. Why does it take so long?
It depends. If it's a cash deal, it can close very quickly, 2 weeks. All the buyers are doing is really running title.
Yeah.
If it is a mortgage that's part of the contingency, it really defaults on the bank getting and spinning all the paperwork around. So that's where the delay comes in. The first 2 weeks is the inspections, the attorney approval, the contract approval, and then after that, really, the bank kicks in and trying to hold it all together.
Same for the Berkshires, Jared?
Yeah, I typically write out 45 days for cash, 30 to 45, and then 60 days close for financing.
Yeah.
But you can do 45 through some banks. But there's a lot of TRID regulations that were passed recently.
What kind of regulations?
It's called TRID. It's like truth in lending, and that requires certain disclosure requirements as you get close to closing, and there's minimum numbers of days. Things have to go in the mail and be reviewed before you can close.
Mm-hmm.
So the lender only has so much flexibility in terms of how fast they can close.
You know, there's such a stack of paperwork at closing. This is why I immediately was very pleased that we had a realtor when we went to buy a home, because they just said, okay, sign that. Yeah. Okay, I'm signing this. And
New York State is a very disclosure-friendly state.
Yeah.
So it's a disclosure upon a disclosure upon a disclosure.
Yeah.
And just knowing what you're signing and just, you know, and then when it comes to the closing, it's a lot of the bank.
Mm.
And they want everything in wet ink, as they call it,
yeah.
So you can't have copies. So
right.
you are signing and initialing every single page, so it takes a little while.
Indeed. All right, let's take a break here. Renata Lewis is here, Jared Kelly. We talk real estate on Vox Pop today. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Adirondack Aquatic Center, Malta, New York, a planned aquatic facility where children and adults with varying abilities in the capital region can learn, heal, play, exercise, train, and compete. AdirondackAquaticCenter.org. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Grapes and Grains, Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York. Offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout western Massachusetts. A family-owned business for over 50 years. BoydenAndPerrin.com. Slide & Dirty. Serving handcrafted sliders, pub fare, and variety of craft beers and spirits in downtown Troy and Schenectady. Trivia every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Food truck catering available for events. SlideAndDirty.com. And Lakeview Orchard Farm Stand and Bakery at 94 Old Cheshire Road in Lanesboro. Offering seasonal tree fruits and berries, honey, pies, pastries, cider donuts, Polish specialties including galumpki, pierogies. LakeviewOrchard.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's real estate, real estate, real estate today. It's all about location, location, location. Renata Lewis is here and Jared Kelly also in this location. And we'll get back to the phones in a minute. But first, we'll take this email that came in from Stephen in Pine Bush, whose subject heading is tax sale. I have bought and sold houses in several different states over the past 30 years. I'm thinking of buying a property at a county tax auction. Is there anything I should know or be careful of at the auction? And why are you laughing, Renata?
We're both pointing fingers at each other.
Okay.
I really don't know, to be honest with you. Is it like an auction sale? Is that what we're talking about? Tax sale?
I've already recycled the email.
Tax taking.
It's a county tax auction. That's what Stephen in Pine Bush said.
All right, so it's probably their corporate owned or foreclosure, I'm assuming. You really need to find out how it's being sold, you know, any delinquencies, any title issues, any back taxes, back water, you know, all of that comes into play.
How would you be allowed to sell it if there was a title issue?
If it's being sold that way, it's being sold as is.
That's so, like rolling a roulette wheel.
Oh, it is. It is. Depending on, you know, what you're paying for it, there's definitely some risk. However, if you do some due diligence on your end, I think it could be a really good purchase.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just add, making sure that the sale is being conducted properly, that you're going to have clean title when you buy it. Nobody's going to come out of the woods and say, hey, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So that's key. You may want to contact counsel for that to get some guidance on that.
Now, if you were at a county tax auction, let's say, and you buy a house and the title wasn't clean, and then Jimmy pops out of the woods and says, hey, wait, that's my house. Isn't that on the county? Or now once you've paid, it's on you?
Once you pay, it's on you.
That's ridiculous.
But however, when you purchase it, you do have attorney approval still. So during the attorney approval and during the due diligence of actually getting to the closing table, you are doing that research. So that's when that comes into play as far as running title and all the different searches. So at that point, if things get crazy and unaffordable, you do have that contingency to get yourself out of that contract.
It's Real Estate Today on Vox Pop. Jared Kelly and Renata Lewis with us, and the number is 800-348-2551. Susie in Western Mass. Susie, you're on.
Hi. I wasn't expecting. Anyway, here's my question. I wondered if the real estate agent of the buyer has a responsibility to let the buyer know if the mortgage broker that the buyer is using has multiple violations and is basically irresponsible,
ouch,
according to the Better Business Bureau.
Now, no names, please, Susie. Let's not get...
I'm not.
Okay, that's good. I'm just saying. Let's just hold to that. Okay. Hypothetically, Jared.
And I'm sorry if I missed it. Where did the lender recommendation come from?
I'm asking whether the real estate agent, where did the mortgage broker recommendation come from?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
From the buyer.
So are you the seller?
I'm supposed to not get into specifics.
Okay.
Thank you, Susie.
I'll try to answer as best I can. It kind of could depend on the facts of the case, but
I'm just trying to figure out what the responsibility of the real estate agent,
sure,
well, I mean, of the buyer is.
A buyer agent, assuming that they're not in a dual agent capacity, in which case the duties can change, but a buyer's agent has a duty of care, among other duties, to their client. So if an agent knew that any vendor that they passed on to them was not a suitable choice, potentially there could be an alleged violation of a duty there, but it would really, I need a lot more sort
okay
of information.
Yeah. But it doesn't
I
sound
think
exactly.
It's just full disclosure. If the agent is aware that there is a violation, I think the agent wouldn't be working with them, I would assume.
Okay.
However, if they still continue to work with them and they deliberately didn't disclose that information, that could be unethical for sure.
I guess I'm just going to do one follow-up. I'm wondering if this is actually a responsibility of the agent to know this information.
To properly vet the mortgage.
The vendor,
vendor.
Correct. What?
To properly vet the mortgage vendor. Is that a responsibility of the buyer's agent?
I guess I would say yes. If the vendors that I work with, you know, we interview them, we talk to them, the brokerage as well.
Okay. I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You want to follow up?
I was going to say, as a matter of practice, I mean, any good agent is certainly going to vet lenders that they recommend out, and if the lender wasn't recommended through this agent, then I don't know if it's really on the agent to dig into the buyer's own lender.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a very interesting one. Let's go over to Mike in Chatham. Mike, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Here's my question. I've got a 600-foot dirt and gravel driveway that goes uphill toward my house, which is a basic 2-story box.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is it worth it to pave the driveway? If I was to sell the house, the driveway paving would probably cost in the $30,000.
Yikes. All right.
It really depends what area you're in and the values, the home values that have sold near you. And, you know, comping, you know, adding that and factoring that into the value of the total home. So if you're, you know, if you're putting a $30,000 driveway in and then it makes your market value a lot higher and you're priced at the max of the market or even higher, that may not be something that you would consider doing. Jared, what do you think?
No, I totally agree. That's a great point. You know, for example, you could go from the one extreme of raw land, in which case I wouldn't even think about it. If you went to sort of an estate where the buyer is going to expect a nice driveway,
right,
a nice entrance,
right,
then it's worth
right
the investment because you may lose buyers if you don't have that.
So if it's a $3 million home, maybe yeah. If it's a double wide, maybe not.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Vox Pop. It's Real Estate Today. And let's go back to the phones. And Sue in Tilson. Sue.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
My question is, I have a house with land attached, which is about 50 acres. The debate is whether, and I'm selling it, the debate is whether to do a simple subdivision before selling it, try to sell the land and the house together, or sell the land separate and the house separate with no subdivision. The house is already subdivided off of the major land.
Have the 50 acres been subdivided, the additional acreage? Yeah.
No, the additional acreage is all one piece. We're considering subdividing that, a simple subdivision, which I think is 1 to 3 parcels at a time. I'm not totally sure.
Okay. I think just a conversation with the town just to see what approvals they would offer, what they would actually permit, and, you know, what the cost to you would be to make that, you know, into subdivision, whether or not surveys are involved. You know, and then when you are subdividing, does each property need septic well? Are you going to get into all of that? So it really depends on if you're going to sell it as raw, you know, how far you want to take it with the town, and if they're going to deem each lot buildable. In that case, if that's the case, I would say definitely subdivide it because you're going to get a lot more money for the subdivision. However, what area are you living in, and would the average buyer want that acreage included as part of the farming or the privacy?
Yeah, we have some homes, especially in South County, where you could actually lessen the value of the overall property by taking off too much acreage because they expect a certain amount of acreage for a certain quality of home.
Yeah.
So it would depend on the parcel, but as an agent, I would find out how many buildable lots there are and market it with the potential of so many buildable lots, but keep probably the land intact, but maybe divide it off from your home.
All right, Sue, you want to follow up?
Yes, I didn't understand the end of the last comment. Keep the land intact and what?
Well, it sounds like you could market it as your home separate and the land separately, but also have it marketed as a package together if somebody wanted to buy them all together, and that would depend on your house, whether it made sense there. But I don't think the 50 acres would need to be divided to be able to be marketed effectively, but you want to do your diligence to find out and be sure of how many you could divide, and to Renata's point about approval of the town and whether approval would be required.
Okay, I was thinking about doing a simple subdivision, which would be, you know, maybe 2-acre parcels. Maybe, I don't know if a simple would be like one subdivision or three subdivisions as the part of this one package. And I was going to put the well in septic.
Right.
So I just don't know which is, without the improvements, which I understand could be costly.
Right.
Do you have an opinion on that?
I think I would agree with Jared. I would market it together with the information intact and give the buyer the first right of refusal. And should the buyer not want to include all the other acreage, then pull it out and sell it separately. But you may hurt your purchase should the buyer, if that was sold separately and that buyer wanted to purchase that entire parcel together with the lot, if they find out that it's now separate and other things will be built near them.
Real Estate Today on Vox Pop, Renata Lewis and Jared Kelly here to answer your questions at 800-348-2551. Carrie in Frankfort, New York. Carrie, you're on.
Good afternoon. Hi. Today is tax grievance day.
Nice.
In my town.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what resources I should use before I go in this evening at 6 o'clock and read my taxes.
You've seen all the comparables in your neighborhood? That's what I did. Checked it all
out. I have not.
Oh, that's a good start. All right, you guys take it from here.
The biggest one that the town wants to see is a current appraisal. So we may be a little late for you. Definitely comparables are a big part of it, but the comparables are shown directly into an appraisal. An appraisal is done with a professional appraiser, and that gives the true value of your home, or at least what the home is worth, and then they could base the assessment off of that. Jared?
So definitely late for that.
Yeah. Any suggestions, Jared, last minute?
last minute, pull together whatever comps you can. If you have an agent friend who can pull us some stuff off of the MLS where you live, and so you can bring those in and show what's sold recently in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Your town should have a, like the town hall tax record information maybe on file, see what other homes near you, what kind of assessments are posted. And if you could find a few that are similar to you that are lower than you, you might be able to fight it that way.
I think I did that. And I think a lot of times, I don't know if it's standard operating procedure for these poor people who work for the town who have to listen to everybody complain. But I think if you go in there with some data, they'll usually knock something off.
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends on that, the town and the area.
It worked for me, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Good. You got
all right,
lucky.
Carrie, good luck, and we feel your pain there, brother. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Real Estate Today on the show. And Lisa in Schenectady. Lisa.
Hi. I know that the inventory being so low right now, I assume you would call it a seller's market?
Correct.
At this time?
Yes, correct.
Now... Right. So about how long, I know it's hard to estimate, but in like capital region, do you intend, like, do you see kind of far out? Do you think that'll transpire into like spring of 2019 or just this year? Or I know it's volatile, but what's your, you know, just on your experience, how long do you think this lasts? Because I'm ready to sell, but not quite yet. And I know like I'm just like 6 months out. And I don't know if maybe I should rush, you know, try to get in on this, you know, what do you think?
Well, I always tell everyone I wish I had a magic crystal ball. Then, you know, it would be great. But no, with all seriousness, it's, I mean, we know what the market is today, and it is a great market. In fact, this is the first time we're seeing Schenectady County ahead of the game as far as the absorption rates and the inventory that's out there. I believe that you guys are less than 2 months of inventory in Schenectady County right now, which is really, really good. So if you could... maybe rush it a little bit, and I don't know what your circumstances. This is the time to get top market value for your home in that area. Definitely talk to a couple professionals, get them in there, and see maybe they can help you out as far as getting the house ready with different vendors. And I would do it sooner than later because we don't know what next year is going to bring.
I mean,
okay, great, thank you.
Hey, Lisa, there's one sure way to tell when the seller's market's over, and that's when I'm about to sell my house, generally speaking. Yeah, the bad luck follows me. Yeah, thanks and good luck, and we appreciate it. 800-348-2551. It's like at the grocery store. I'll be at, I was at the grocery store the other day. I picked the one. Okay, the lady's got three items. I'll get behind her. Nope, they got to check. They got to go back. It takes me 20 minutes. My kids are screaming. That's another show. Let's go to Laura in Coxsackie. Laura, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a situation where I live in the Riverside, quaint town, and my property and house abut a large, what used to be a horse farm. And a corporation has bought that property and wants to put in a trailer park, basically.
Okay.
And I don't know what kind of impact that'll have on the value of my home. I have a third of an acre, and the property is very large. They would put in about 90 trailers.
Okay. Who wants first?
All right, I'll take this. Well... I'm assuming a trail park doesn't fit in with the current sort of nature of the neighborhood. And that being the case, it's definitely going to affect your property value. As an example, I sold a house recently where there was a house in the back that had about seven or eight rundown cars sitting in the lot.
Yeah.
That house closed for $380, and I probably could have sold it five times for $500 had that not been there.
Ouch. Why didn't you just move the cars?
Well, it's a good question, but they weren't my cars. They were there was the neighbor's lot, and the neighbor just thought the cars were going to be repaired someday, hypothetically, and were left there.
Okay, Laura, you want to follow up?
It is a very quaint town, and I'm not opposed to trailer parks in general. We have some on the outskirts of town that, you know, are various levels of niceness. But this particular company has a reputation of being a bad landlord, and they have the lowest Better Business rating, and they have parks all over the country. all that give bad reports about, you know, their service, et cetera. So that makes me particularly concerned because of this particular company.
Well, I mean, as Ray was...
The other part of that is, you know, right now the town is fighting. There's a lawsuit involved. And the lawyer for the town thinks that we're going to win. But would it be better to sell before the outcome is known?
Yeah, I see.
People knowing that this is a possibility? Or is it better to wait for the outcome?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, I guess I would say, you know, were you ready for the sale of your home? You know, how far away are you in making that decision? And if it was, you know, next year or, you know, early on, I would say, yeah, go ahead, put it on the market so you're not taking that risk of finding out what's going to happen. It's a tough decision. I don't know how to
answer that. But until it's settled by the town, already that value has dropped, right? Speculatively?
Right, because people are going to worry about what's going back there, for sure.
All right, we have to take a break, Laura, and good luck in Coxsackie. 800-348-2551 is the number. Real Estate Today, Jared Kelly of William Pitt Sotheby's and Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Water Wheel Village, Galway, New York, specializing in extra-sharp New York cheddar since 1923, offering imported and domestic specialty cheeses, nostalgic candies, and more. WaterWheelVillage.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting its 6th annual Lake George Hikeathon, July 5th, a one-day event with 19 hikes and paddles. Register online at lakegeorgehikeathon.org. Nine Pin Cider, Albany. Hard cider made from local apples. Tasting room features New York cider, beer, wine, spirits. Open Tuesday through Sunday. Now available in Massachusetts and Connecticut. NinePinCider.com. Saratoga Chamber Players. Presenting concerts of string quintets. Saturday, June 16th, 7:30 p.m. at Cafe Lena. And on Sunday, June 17th at 3 p.m. at the Hyde Collection. SaratogaChamberPlayers.org. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York. Specializing in European car sales and service for over 30 years. QFCC.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. 800-348-2551 is the number. By the way, the lockbox is open at WAMC.org. Remember, our fund drive starts in early June. Zach the engineer can tell me for sure. Is it June 4th? June 4th. That's the on-air fund drive. Well, you know, we're going to shorten that drive if you make your pledge right now at WAMC.org. Lately, they've been going a day, 2 days, and then we're back to regular programming. So if you pitch in now at WAMC.org, feed that lockbox, the fund drive is much quicker. We get back to programming, which is exactly what we're going to do right now. 800-348-2551 is the number. Kyle in Berkshire County. Kyle.
Hi there. My question is, if it's a seller's market, does that make it a bad time to buy? And does it mean that if I do buy something, I'll have trouble, you know, getting back what I paid for it when I do decide to sell eventually?
Kyle, I see you're in Berkshire County. I don't think it's a bad time to be a buyer in Berkshire County. I'm pretty bullish on the county, generally speaking. And depending on your price point, it's still a buyer's market in certain price points. The 200,000 and 300,000 and 400,000 are moving pretty quick, but higher than that, it still could be classified as a buyer's market.
Would this be your...
Yeah, I'm in that kind of 250 to 300 range. So,
what part of the county are you in?
Looking all over. Mostly South County.
Yeah, the prices haven't yet really begun to reflect the shortage in inventory. So they're not crazy peaks right now. Back in 05, 06, prices were really high and people were overpaying, you know, in hindsight. But right now, I think if you want to buy in Berkshire County, I wouldn't get caught up in what's happening in the market. I would buy now and have faith that long term, the county's a great place to own.
I mean, generally, if you already own a home and it's a seller's market, you're selling your home, you're still going to take it because you have to buy another home.
Right, right.
So,
well, it depends on your time frame. It depends on, is this your primary residence? Is it a vacation home? So yeah, a lot to factor in.
All right, back to the phones we go. Frank in Ballston Spa. Frank.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm happy to speak with your experts this afternoon. I had a situation a while ago that I would like their opinion on. My wife and I signed a contract to buy a house in Saratoga County. When we did the inspection, the inspector found that the foundation of the house was structurally insufficient and would cost $7,000 to repair. So based on that information, we decided to back out of the contract. Now, we had put 10% down, and what was interesting was the seller refused to give us our deposit back.
Ugh.
How would you handle that?
Well, in this area, the inspection contingency protects you for any structural issues.
But he just refused to give the money back.
Okay. So you were represented, there were agents involved, so he's just refusing to give the money back. But the seller, all right, so the seller is not holding the money, it's being held in escrow.
That's correct.
The best,
he had to release it for some, there was a paper he had to sign to release that money, and he refused to sign it.
Correct, the cancel and release form. The only way that you can do this is go to talk to your attorney, the person that was representing you during the transaction, and file a small claims. I think that's the only way that you can fight this. You do have the right to fight it because you do have the inspection contingency that I would assume was part of your contract when you went into contract. And as long as that's in place, you are due that money back. And unfortunately, being that they don't want to release that, you will have to fight it in court.
I see. Okay.
Jared, anything?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. This is the time when you lean on your counsel. You can talk to your agent, but definitely your counsel. If the contract is clear and you're within your inspection contingency when you chose to cancel, then the money should be coming back to you. It just may take a little longer and, unfortunately, maybe some legal fees.
Now, playing devil's advocate, the seller who won't sign the release, and I'm his counsel, what sort of a justification could I come up with for that?
I'm sure that seller's counsel is telling them exactly what they should do. However, it's happened to me a few times where the seller just refuses to do it. And outside of having the seller actually sign that cancel and release to authorize that those funds to go back to the buyer, you know, everyone's hands are tied, unfortunately.
But doesn't it also hold up any future sale for the seller?
Yes, correct. And for the buyer. The buyer can know, you know, they're in contract right now for one house, so they can't move forward with another purchase either.
Yikes. Oh, that doesn't
sound
fun.
It's a mess, yeah.
Let's go to David in Chicopee. David, you're on.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question about title insurance. I recently purchased a home. And I got counsel, and counsel told me it's $575 for his fee, and he does the title search, and he does all the filing, and you know anything, all the paperwork and all that, signing and everything. When we went to sign, on the day we're signing, he says, oh, there's $1,900 for title insurance. I'm like, $1,900? Didn't you search the title? He goes, I did search the title, but if you don't want to pay the $1,900, then you sign a disclaimer that says he's not responsible for if it wasn't done right. I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Is that a legitimate charge to charge me title insurance on top of his fee?
Right. So there's a few different fees you're going to pay for title. One is for a title search, in which they search the title and see whether it's clean. There's also title insurance for your lender, which lenders are going to require. And what I'm guessing that you're speaking of is title insurance, your own personal title insurance. So if you were sued, you would have this to fall back on. And that's something.
That's correct. But I didn't go through a lender. I paid cash.
Okay. So then that is optional insurance. You don't have to purchase title insurance yourself.
Would you recommend it?
It depends on the title, and without looking through the title or being a lawyer looking at the title, it's a nice safeguard. Most all lawyers do recommend getting title insurance. Litigation is so expensive that if somebody did come out of the woodwork, you would wish you had it.
Okay, so he told me he only researched it 50 years back, and anything further than that could come and bite me, and he doesn't want to be responsible for it.
Well,
that's legitimate?
I don't. Yeah, that sounds like a little bit of sort of sales talk on why to buy title insurance. People typically go 50 years back, and there may be a statutory limit. They may be protected beyond 50. I'd have to check the law on that.
Renata?
Yeah, and what I'm assuming he's talking about is it's you have your title insurance that protects, you know, the you protects you before you actually close on the home up to the day of the closing. And then there is additional personal insurance that protects you moving forward. So they're guaranteeing title being clean, you know, up to that day of the closing. Should somebody come out of the woodwork and say that they own part of the property or whatnot, as while you own the property, that additional title insurance protects you in any litigation moving forward.
Okay.
This day and age, I would recommend everyone to get this title. I've seen identity thefts. I've seen people claiming properties that they don't, you know, that they don't have any, you know, title to. So it's just, I've had some crazy things that have come up, I think, with the technology and with the identity theft.
Okay.
So big in this area, and not just in this area, in the world. I think it's a very wise investment.
Okay. Well,
that's why I went to it, because he explained it the same way you did just now. And it is our permanent home. I paid $450,000 for the house. So $2,000 or $1,900 seemed like a reasonable.
Yeah. It really is. Because if you were to purchase that after the closing, it would be probably four times the amount. So you did the right thing.
As a side note, did he call me Doug?
He did. It's Ray.
It's Doug. Yeah, I like it. Tracy, you're on. Where are you calling from?
Okay. Well, I live in a county we didn't identify in a.
Okay, fair enough.
I went to an auction, a county auction.
Yeah.
37 different properties. The county said it's free and clear. They did all the work to get the deed and so forth. Somebody called up earlier about that.
Yeah, I remember.
And, you know, maybe that's what they do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, sometimes they do, and if they disclose it, that's great. But a lot of times they don't want to spend any funds because it's already in an auction mode.
Right.
Or they won't guarantee it. So the only way for you to protect yourself is obviously to do your
due diligence. Well, they have a preamble, and they say, you know, this is free and clear.
Okay.
We own the deed.
That's all great.
And then they pass it off when you pay the price.
Well, that's a great auction.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy, for illuminating that particular corner of the program. Peter on the Thruway. Peter, you're next.
Hi, good afternoon. Great show. I'm really enjoying it. I just wanted to discuss the tax sale thing a little bit more. I think it was misleading.
Yeah.
A tax sale certificate is what localities sell, and localities have to pay their bills. If a homeowner does not pay their taxes, they need to raise that money. So they sell certificates to individuals usually bidding above the price of the outstanding tax amount. Once you own that certificate, if the owner does pay, they pay you a premium, most times 1% a month, and then you're done. If they choose not to pay, you can take ownership, you will take ownership of the property, but it is free and clear of all mortgage and title claimants. It's just above all of that.
Okay.
But it's very rare that people let that go. Typically,
okay.
Somebody gets money together and purchases it. But you're buying a certificate at a tax sale, not actually the property.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. We don't have many of those here, not that I've actually worked with.
Nor do I. Thank you
for the explanation.
That was good. Thank you very much for the call. Patricia in Kerhonkson. Patricia, you're on.
Hi. Let me get it off speakerphone. Okay. I'm not sure if you can answer this. I live on a private dirt road, and I don't know if distance makes a difference, but about a third of the road in front of my neighbor's house is in very poor condition. Major potholes, et cetera, some erosion and whatnot from runoff from her property. You have to pass all of that bad road stuff to get to my house, which is the last one on the road. It's a dead-end road. And I'm thinking of selling in a couple of few years when I'm retiring, and I'm wondering how or if that will affect the selling price, the poor condition of the road. We don't have a road association
It depends a little bit on the house and the type of property.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It depends a little bit on the house and the sort of what a buyer's expectations are. In an area where there's nice sort of homes at a high dollar point, those buyers are going to want a nice road. But if it's a more affordable area, buyers are going to be less choosy about that. But overall, I wouldn't worry too much about it, given that I think when they get to the house, that's really what they're going to be focused on. And after they buy, they may think, wow, they may then realize that the road is more of a problem than they first thought.
All right. That's kind of what I wanted to know, ballpark, an idea how crazy I should get about getting on my neighbor's case about doing something about this.
So I'm assuming that you and your neighbor are both deeded on that driveway?
Pardon me?
Are you and your neighbor both deeded to have that easement to, it's a shared, part of the driveway is a shared driveway?
No, we don't share a driveway.
It's just a dirt road.
I get it.
I remember driving around the streets of Bedford, New York in the early 90s, and I tell you, there was a lot of dirt road area and huge mansions on them. I think in that case, the dirt roads added to the value of these homes.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you had people on horses going by.
You may want to fill it maybe with some rock just so someone's not damaging their car as they're going in. It's first impressions do make a difference, but I don't think you need to spend a lot of money correcting that issue for sure.
All right, let's go to Nancy in Orange County. Nancy, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much. I have a real doozy of a problem. My husband and I purchased our first home, and unfortunately, well, I asked the lawyer about, do I get something to show me where the property line is? He gave me a fax. It was new construction in a development, and we got pressure put on us that you got to close on this thing because the guy wants to pull out and sell it for more money. So we did that at the closing. By the way, had Countrywide. The woman who was representing them asked for a survey. We didn't have it. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, I didn't know I needed one. And I was afraid if we pulled out, we would lose the house. So she says, well, I don't like it, but I can have you sign a waiver so that if there's anything wrong with the property line, you know, we're not liable. So I figured, new house in a development, foolishly we signed it. Okay. Turns out a year and a half later, we learned the neighbor was going to put in a deck. And turns out his property line is supposed to be at least 30 feet from our home. It's 8.5 feet. It cuts across our backyard.
Ouch.
And visually, it looks like the homes are all sited correctly, but there were a handful of homes that were built weren't supposed to be built. They were built. They got paid off. The builder has a reputation.
All right.
And our property actually cuts across our other neighbors. We could literally ask them to take down their swimming pool.
Oh, boy.
But, I mean, being good neighbors, that's okay. I mean, we have enough room, but the neighbor to the one side isn't that way.
All
so
right.
He's kind of like, well, you know, he could literally cut off the use to our garage and his backyard.
Yeah, well, we only have one minute left, Nancy. So do you have a good question?
The question is, he's not going to budge, so what do we do? We've heard it'll be harder to sell. Should I try to just get one of those places that buy homes for cash?
Oh, boy.
Any kind of recourse we could possibly have legally?
Okay, well, let's see if our experts can tie it up here in the last 30 seconds or so.
I think legal counsel is, I don't think that as far as legally doing anything at this point. You signed a waiver, you purchased the property. I'm surprised the property transferred title without a survey being new construction.
Don't you have to have those coordinates on a piece of paper when you buy the house?
Yeah, at least a plot plan. But usually new construction, if the builder doesn't want to pay for the survey, it defaults for the buyer to pay for the survey. So I'm really surprised that transferred title without one. Unfortunately, make the best out of it. Maybe get it resurveyed just so you know exactly where your lines are and sell it as is.
All right, we are out of time. And thank you to everybody who called in. And thanks to Jared Kelly and Renata Lewis for being here today. Support comes from Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, pelhamauto.com. Mother Earth Storehouse, serving the Hudson Valley with a variety of seasonal items and organic and natural foods, bakery and cafe, using natural ingredients without additives. MotherEarthStorehouse.com. The Albany Pinebush Discovery Center, presenting Lupin Fest with crafts and food vendors, music, live wildlife programs, and guided tours, June 2nd from 10 to 4, AlbanyPinebush.org. And George Heigl Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in buying and selling antique collections for individuals, families, and businesses, 518-396-7974. All right, that's it for the program. A fine job by Renata Lewis and Jared Kelly today. And thank you for calling and for just plain old listening. Zach Malloy, our engineer, did a good job. He's long-suffering. He's got a lot of patience, that Zach Malloy. He only grimaces at times. Your phones are answered by Carol Lapani. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Doug. Tomorrow, the gardeners return to answer your flowering, planting, and trimming questions. Right now, stand by for news.